is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, the lines have been drawn. A lot to cover here today, but I want to be perfectly clear about the way we're going to have this conversation. And the conversation is about refugees and immigration to America, whether it's the temporary ban of refugees coming from seven countries tied to terrorism, 120-day ban while we get our act together, whether it's about that or the southern border or whatever it may be. We are a nation of immigrants. I will not allow this to descend into a debate or some sort of a vitriolic attack on immigrants. That's not my concern. This is a nation of immigrants. People from all sorts of nations and places and circumstances have come here to build this great country of ours. That is not my point. My point is the safety at this place and time of this country. And I'm going to hearken back to President Bill Clinton one more time before I take your phone calls, which I'll take them all here in order in just a moment. But President Bill Clinton said this during the State of the Union address in January of 1995. Go.
We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
It is against this backdrop that this conversation has gotten revved up, shall we say, and now Mayor Virgil Bonaro of the city of Lansing, Michigan, wants to make Lansing a sanctuary city where illegal aliens are protected from the law, where the law isn't enforced the way it would be and should be. There's a reason we have laws in this country. We don't have a broken immigration system. We have a failure to enforce the laws we currently have on the books. We will start on the hotline with Jennifer. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. I do believe that it's time for the American people to clean our swamps at the beginning of our state level and get rid of the dead wood. These gentlemen, I'll call them gentlemen, although I don't feel they are placing themselves above the law, show no regard for the American people that are footing the bills for this, that are in danger of losing their lives if someone comes across who is not vetted. They are showing no leadership whatsoever. They don't belong in a position of authority. We need to get rid of them. It's very disturbing to think that all the laws that they want to pass and that they put forth at the state and county levels or the national levels are, we are expected to follow blindly, but they place themselves above these laws that cannot be tolerated. The people that are elected to office must adhere to the law, whether they like it or not. And I would walk on hot coals to put Donald Trump in there a second term. You bet.
Jennifer, thank you very much, as always. Mike standing by on the rotation from Ann Arbor. Mike, welcome to it.
I'll be brief. Yesterday, Alan Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley, both flaming liberal lawyers, constitutional experts, came out and they said President Trump was fully within his right to do what he did, and they fully agree with him. You can get those cuts, and they're interesting to hear. Also, the moment that Jeff Sessions becomes the Attorney General, rather than going after emails or anything else, what he needs to do is do a full RICO investigation of George Soros. This man is responsible for attacks on police officers through Black Lives Matter and other things. He is foaming revolution in the streets. This man needs to be stopped. And
let me ask you this, Mike.
Needs to go after him.
I don't disagree with that. In fact, Romania is investigating George Soros as we speak, my understanding.
Macedonia also.
Yeah, what do you think about the idea of Lansing Mayor Virgil Bonaro pursuing sanctuary city status for the city of Lansing, your state capital?
I would run them out of town on a rail.
All right. Mike, thank you so much. Matt checking in Okemos. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, the good Muslims in America are getting a bad name from people coming from overseas into America and doing harm. So we need to protect the good name of the people we have here so we don't get stereotyped. Just like Ferguson.
Agreed.
Where they had people, Ferguson had people coming in from out of town doing the problems, and Ferguson got a bad name.
I agree. We need to protect the good name of good people living here already, calling America home, adhering to American traditions and American laws and American principles. Matt, I agree with you completely. This is not an attack on refugees or immigrants. This is merely stating that America has the right to create safe, secure borders and the right to choose who comes and who doesn't come to this country, Matt. That's my point.
All right. Well, I agree with you. And it's just like at Mexico border. Them saying that we're going to ban all Mexicans is just like them saying we're going to ban all Muslims. Just because we're going to build a wall doesn't mean we're banning all Mexicans.
Completely absurd idea, Matt. Thank you for pointing that out. Rob is standing by in Ann Arbor with more. Rob, what are your thoughts today?
Hey, good morning, Steve. Yeah, this is a hot topic, obviously, being here in the country and also here in Ann Arbor, being a sanctuary city. But I tell you, I'm not gonna get up this morning and I'm gonna go into Ann Arbor and start turning over and setting fire to police cars or start bashing in windows.
You're not?
But what I'm gonna do? No, heck no. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna get in my car and I'm gonna slowly drive in the opposite direction and I'm gonna take my grocery shopping, my haircut, everything else into other towns. Whether it be Canton or Plymouth or Ypsilanti, I don't patronize Ann Arbor, or I'm not going to patronize East Lansing or any vendor or retailer, unfortunately, within a sanctuary city. So I'm going to take my money elsewhere. That's my way of protesting. And it's like me going down to the block or down to the end of the street, mm-hmm. and some clown's got a house full of stolen items, you know, VCRs or TVs. I can't buy that stuff. It's illegal for me to do that. I'm not going to go to a city that is harboring.
But what? What if he had a sanctuary electronics shop? I mean,
no.
Seriously, what if he had a sanctuary electronics shop and the police were just kind of letting him slide? It was not a big deal, and just letting it go.
No, take him out.
Take him out.
Crack down.
Greatly appreciate that, Rob. Greatly appreciate your point. He's voting. Rob's voting with his wallet. He may live in Ann Arbor and he may have to pay property taxes there, but when it comes to everything else, his money leaves town slowly. He waves as he goes by the restaurant, he waves as he goes by the grocery store and the hardware store, wherever else he may shop, and he takes his money elsewhere. What do you think about it? Lansing Mayor Virgil Bonero leading the push because he says this is not Trump's America and he will not allow it to happen, and he is leading the push for Lansing, Michigan to be a sanctuary city. Could cost as much as $6.5 million in federal funding, and members of the Lansing City Council last night said they do not care. It's your capital city. This is your state. What do you make of it? 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Meanwhile, Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks, says he'll be hiring 10,000 refugees to help out over the next couple of years. Maybe he should help out 500,000 veterans that are unemployed today, 50,000 of which are homeless. Maybe he should help out the 42 million Americans that don't have enough food today, or a mother in a shelter just hoping to make it through the rest of today. Maybe that's who Howard Schultz should focus on. I'll tell you, I won't be at Starbucks ever again. 14 after.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
All right, welcome back to it. Tuesday here on the program, and I got to be honest with you, this is all happening at such a pace, it's unbelievable. And the left, come on, guys, this is Barack Obama's law. Barack Obama's administration identified these seven nations. It is a temporary ban, 120 days. It is not about bigotry or xenophobia. It's about seven countries that have close ties to terrorism, that we're trying to make sure that people that travel to the United States from those countries are properly vetted. And in the meantime, you've got the mayor of Lansing, Michigan, the capital city, along with the city council, saying they will not tolerate this. They will not put up with this. This is not President Trump's America. It is their America, and they will resist, and they are now pursuing sanctuary city status for the city of Lansing. So says Virgil Monero, the mayor. He did that last night late during a city council meeting. Joining me now, State Senator Pat Kolbeck. Pat, welcome to the program.
Hey, great to be with you, Steve.
If that's news to you, what do you make of it?
It's not news to me. Actually, it's something that, I don't know if you recall, a little while back when the Governor Snyder put the pause button on the Syrian refugees coming into Michigan, I had put forward a resolution encouraging them to continue that pause button over the break, make sure that, you know, we made sure that we had adequate vetting processes, just like President Trump is saying, adequate vetting processes before we reopen that gate again. And I actually am pleased with what President Trump's doing. I think it's a common sense approach. And, of course, it opens him up to claims of being a racist. Well, last time I checked, you know, Syria is not a race. And when you actually get into the Islamophobia claims and all this other stuff, I mean, it takes, you know, it takes an appreciation that you're here to serve American citizens first and their security first to stand up against all these false narratives.
And there are a lot of false narratives. You're exactly right. It's a ban on Muslims. False narrative. The number one Muslim, the largest Muslim nation in the world is Indonesia. The second largest population of Muslims live in India. 130
right.
million live in India and Pakistan.
It only affects 10% of the Muslim population.
Yeah, less than some say. It's actually less than 10% of the world population currently. So let me talk to you about this, though. Do you think it is appropriate at this juncture for Lansing, Michigan, spurred on by its mayor, Virgil Bonero, to be pursuing sanctuary city status at this time? Is it the proper thing to do? We've got veterans without jobs. We've got children that don't have enough to eat. We've got homelessness. We've got unemployment. And apparently the most important and pressing issue is about, you know, the idea that refugees and illegal aliens should be able to come to Lansing without penalty. What do you make of it?
Well, absolutely. It's not proper at this time. It's not proper at any time. We are a nation of laws. And everything that we've seen under our previous president, President Obama, has been about undermining the concept of the rule of law. He's picked which laws he wants to enforce, which laws he doesn't want to enforce. And as a result, our police officers have been in the crossfire. And that blue line, that thin blue line here, they're actually undermining the role of law enforcement and the rule of law. And I'm happy to say, you know, that it's about time that we have somebody that appreciates the concept of the rule of law. I like to joke that a lot of the, and it's no joke, actually, but it's over the last 8 years, you know, President Obama has kind of ruled with his pen and a phone, and he's kind of made a lot of edicts via executive order. Well, that kind of disappears pretty quickly. And I think what we've seen in the first week of President Trump's presidency is that he's pretty much erased Obama's legacy in 1 week.
What can you do in the state Senate? We're on the line with State Senator Patrick Kolbeck here of Michigan. What can you do from a state Senate position in Michigan to prevent this sort of sanctuary city idea from taking root? Is there something you can do? Apparently, $6.5 million of federal funding would be at risk if Lansing pursues it. What about state funding? Are there other ways to prevent this from happening? I am fully open to immigrants, but I'm also one that respects the laws of the nation and of the state and of the municipality. We can't just run roughshod over the law.
I agree. I first thing I need to do is respect my oath of office. And that oath of office means I'm going to support the Constitution, which provides the framework for these laws. So first and foremost, we need to encourage people to follow the law. And by definition, you know, what they're talking about doing sanctuary cities, not just in Lansing, but also in Detroit, in Ann Arbor, all across the state, we've got to go off and start enforcing those laws, which means that if we have law enforcement officers that are coming across people that are illegally here in the country, then they should be detained for the INS to go off and process them in accordance with our federal law.
So how do we do that then? What do you do today? Do you talk to fellow lawmakers? What do you do today? Because this is a hot button issue, and it's about safety for the country, and it's about security for our state and everywhere else. We don't want to see happen here what's happened in other places. And we need to make sure that we vet people properly, that we have law enforcement that has the proper tools to foil plans and plots that are out there every day. You know they're out there every day. And we need to make sure that we're safe. What do you do at the state level starting today?
Well, first of all, we got to play position, right? I'm a state legislator. I'm responsible for lawmaking. And making sure that those laws are adhered to is a responsibility of the executive branch. So I've got to, if I've got a, I'll use any tool that I have as a lawmaker to make sure that the executive branch is listening to the laws that we have. So ultimately, it comes down to Governor Snyder and the Attorney General to make sure that we're actually executing those laws. Now, as a legislator, when we get into the budget process, which is coming up here shortly, if we see that people aren't taking their job seriously in regards to enforcing laws that we have in place, then we should be looking at identifying whether or not they really need the resources that have been put in place to enforce the laws if they're not going to enforce the laws.
I think that's fair. Senator Patrick Kolbeck here with us. And I know we're going to talk about some different things here, Senator, but this is the hot topic for today. I'd like to have you back, though, soon to talk about some more of these
sure.
things. Great connection. Greatly appreciate it. And thanks for stopping in.
Hey, thanks a bunch, Steve. And everybody drive safe on the way in. It's kind of slippery.
There you go. A lot of snow out there across the state today. The hotline number, 888-900-9966. Back in a moment on the Steve Gruber Show.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
Tuesday here on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll get back to the hot topics of the day in a moment. Because we're going to talk about another hot topic. And that's the challenge that I face here every day. There's so much news. I mean, there's like a dump truck worth of news on my desk every day when I get here. Like, say, the acting attorney general getting the boot overnight so that Donald Trump's immigration laws get enforced. Things like that, you know, creates a lot of stir. At any rate, Obamacare has been in the focus of a conversation for, well, probably, I think it's safe to say, ever since it was put into place. And, you know, everybody has an opinion on it, I would say. I've been affected by it, not in a good way, a couple of times, been forced off my insurance and back on, so on and so forth. But what about a healthcare alternative to insurance for those that are Catholic or Christian? There's something out there. You keep hearing this on the radio. And I said, you know what? I want to know what that's about. So I finally made a call. And when I say I mean Ivy made a call on our behalf to get somebody on the program. Lewis Brown, Director of Catholic Healthcare Ministries here. Lewis, welcome to the program.
Hi. Great to be on your show, Steve.
Glad.
Go ahead. And happy to be director for the ministry, CMF Cure. It's a great thing to offer folks across the country.
So what is it? I mean, we hear these ads from different people that are like a shared responsibility thing. Is that what we're talking about here? And if so, how does it work compared to other more traditional insurance programs? Please explain in short terms so the listeners have a good understanding.
Sure. It's very different, Steve, from health insurance. Really, it's just not health insurance at all, but it's a situation in which you have households across the country, generally speaking, Christian households across the country that directly share their medical costs. So it's not insurance. Every month, at least with our ministry nationwide, we partner with a Protestant group, Samaritan Ministries International. Every month, I would send a check, if I'm a member of the ministry, which I am, to a different household, and I would know their needs, particularly that, you know, the Smith family in Texas, you know, their daughter has a broken leg. I send the equivalent of what we call a share payment, what is known as a premium payment in health insurance, but a share payment, I would send it as a member of the ministry directly to the family. So 1 month to the Smith family, the next month I send money to the Brown family, the next month I send it to the McCarty family, and so on and so forth. It's about the same amount every month. If I have a medical need, I will receive checks from across the country to pay for that medical need in full. And that's how it works. So there's 600,000 Americans nationwide.
Okay, so hold on, Lewis. I just want to ask you something because from my practical brain is kicking in there.
Sure.
So let's say you have a situation where you need $10,000 to pay a medical bill, and these checks start coming to your mailbox. Is that a taxable event? Is that something you need to declare on your taxes? Does the IRS take an interest in what you're doing there?
Generally, no. I think with health care reform that's going to be going on in Washington this year, we're going to seek some clarification on that. There's not a definitive answer on that, but generally, no, it's not considered to be taxable income. That's the interpretation that we've seen to be really most prevalent, but that has not been something that's been definitively reached yet, but we're hoping that we can get clarity in healthcare reform. But again, this is not a small event. Near $1 billion a year in medical costs is paid for through health sharing. So this is something that's very prominent. This is not a new thing. It's a large part of the healthcare industry, generally speaking. Still, health insurance is the overwhelming majority of folks pay for their health insurance through pay for their medical costs through health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that's done. Generally, state health insurance commissioners have agreed that this is not health insurance, and so.
It's a community helping itself is basically what it is. Lewis Brown with us, Director of Catholic Health Care Ministry, CMF. Curo is the affordable health care alternative to insurance for those who consider themselves to be Catholics and Christians. Lewis, just so I'm clear again then, so you pay a small amount into the fund every month, and then if you hear about Mrs. Smith or Mr. Brown, they're not feeling well, you send them $20 or 10, whatever you can afford. Is that how it works?
Right. So every week for our ministry, every month, you receive a newsletter. Across the country, folks that are individuals in the ministry receive a newsletter. So we have about 1,200 households nationwide. We partner with Samaritan Ministries. They have 60,000 households. Every month, you receive a newsletter that says, the Brown family had this medical incident. Please send your check here. So it's generally speaking the same amount every month. So for an individual, it's all total for us. It's a little under $300 per month. And you send most of that $300, you send that check directly to that person.
All right, so how do you know?
It's the same amount every month.
How do you know, okay, the Browns needed $10,000. We'll stay with that example. How do you know when they've reached the $10,000 and they don't get like 20 or 30 or 40 grand because it happened to be, you know, the day before Christmas and people felt a little bit more like giving or whatever the cause may be? How do you know they've reached the amount they're supposed to have?
Sure. So we use an algorithm that essentially signposts all these households across the country so that we can direct the right amount of money to that household. So if they have a $100,000 medical bill or they have a $200,000 medical bill, we would direct, you know, the appropriate number of members of the ministry to pay for that medical cost specifically to that person. And so that's how it works. So by way of example, I was at the March for Life Rose Dinner a few days ago, and there's a close friend of mine who's a member of our ministry from Ohio. He had a heart attack, and those medical costs have been paid and are being paid in full by the members of the ministry. So anything from, you know, I have a cold and I had to, you know, I had to see my medical doctor, or I had something a little more serious and had to go to the hospital, to I had a heart attack, or even a cancer diagnosis after you join the ministry. Those things are shared in full by the members of the ministry, coming together, really bringing the love of God so we are caring for each other directly, recognizing that government has a proper role to pay for these things, but there's other ways the community can come together across the country to directly pay for each other's medical.
Well, it certainly is a fascinating approach, that's for sure. Do you expect that these sorts of things will be recognized in a new healthcare plan that is anticipated by this administration sometime in the next year or two, whenever they get their ducks lined up, that Obamacare will be gone, something new will be in place? Do you believe that what you're doing will remain legal and compatible with whatever law comes along?
Most definitely. So the Affordable Care Act, as it is written, has a section that designates members of healthcare sharing ministries nationwide to essentially meet the requirements of the individual mandate. It says they're exempt from the requirements of the individual mandate if they're a member of a healthcare sharing ministry that meets certain requirements. Secretary Designate Price, he's not been confirmed, but he's the designee by President Trump. I went to the Dirksen Building here in Washington, D.C., where his confirmation hearing was held. I was in the overflow room for part of it. Couldn't get into the main room. But
right.
his plan, which he wrote when he was in Congress, is called the Empowering Patients First Act. And one of the provisions or one of the sections within that legislation talks about providing health savings accounts for members of healthcare sharing ministries. So Secretary Price is very aware of the importance of healthcare sharing, and we would expect that to be promoted in whatever new healthcare improvements that this administration makes in the next years to come.
Lewis Brown, Director of Catholic Healthcare Ministry. Real quickly, a website where people can find out more.
Sure, it's mycatholichealthcare.com.
mycatholichealthcare.com. Something completely different and worth consideration, and something different to think about this Tuesday. Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you, Steve. Great to talk to you.
Steve Gerber Show. We'll be right back.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Tuesday here on the program, a lot of snow being spread across the state today. Not heavy amounts, but enough to make things a bit difficult out there. Randy figured he'd slalom all the way to work and talk to us while he was doing it. Randy, welcome to the program.
Hey, Steve, how you doing today?
Doing well, yourself?
Good, good. Hey, Steve, during my commute, as I've said before, I commute. I drive toward Livingston County from Genesee County, and I can't pick up your station. So I instead do intelligence. I pick up progressive liberal communiques over FM radio, mm-hmm. and listen to NPR to find out what their strategies are. Well, this morning they talked to Indiana Congressman Andre Carson, mm-hmm. who is a black man and a Muslim. And they were asking his opinion of Donald Trump's immigration executive order. And, of course, he didn't have anything good to say about it. And then he added that he said, your listeners need to know that according to FBI data, that white supremacists do more violence against Muslims
Please.
Than Muslims against the population.
And that's such garbage, Randy. And you know that. I mean, the fact of the matter is there are almost zero white supremacists in America, even according to the Southern Poverty Law Center that goes very wide in such statistics. I appreciate the call. Check out 1600 WHAM out of Ann Arbor or 1470 WFNT Flint. I'm just trying to help fill in your drive time there, Randy, because I appreciate the support. Switching gears back to health for just a moment here. Dr. John Wyckoff, my good friend here, because in the dead of winter, sometimes you feel like dead weight. You don't go to the gym. You don't feel healthy. You don't take care of yourself. And good Lord, you gain some weight, and that's not good. Doctor, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Steve, and I've been listening to your show, and it sounds like maybe you and some of your listeners are very stressed out about the weather and the president and the politics. There's a lot of stuff going on right now.
Well, what should I do about my stress? I've got a couple of ideas. What are yours?
Well, I think you're right. Number one, you have to recognize maybe what you can control and what's out of your control. And then, two, if you really find that stress you're experiencing is affecting your relationship, affecting your sleep, affecting your energy, not allowing you to get out and eat well, exercise, then you should come to Wyckoff Wellness. We can get you on a natural program, help alleviate that stress, get you on an eating program, and try to motivate you to make the right changes you need to maintain optimal health.
Well, there you go. And if it affects your love life, even worse. I mean, if you get stressed out, right?
You know, you're exactly right. And that's really a big issue, and it'd be one worth talking about at some point. It's just that libido and sex drive in both men and women, you know, a sign of health is having the desire to have sex. And oftentimes that declines with age. People just kind of blow it off, don't talk about it. But oftentimes there are natural solutions, natural supplements, natural changes that can restore libido, restore sex drive, and make you feel healthy again.
You know, this is going to give me a little bit of trouble. For the record, I'm not that old. I'm not that stressed. Anyhow, what other things should we do in the winter to feel better, Doctor?
Well, you know, a couple things. You want to stay healthy. There's a lot of people with influenza right now, a lot of people with upper respiratory infections. So one, you know, washing your hands frequently, eating healthy, you know, getting plenty of fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, lean meats, cut back on the sugar and the carbs. Make sure you're taking the right vitamins. A high-quality multivitamin mineral supplement, something like Phyto Multi that we have here at Wyckoff Wellness, clinically proven to get you back to health and wellness. Getting enough vitamin D3. You know, we haven't seen the sun in Michigan now for like 6 weeks.
I was missing it.
It is depressing.
Yeah.
And vitamin D is the most important vitamin to help maintain your immune function. Also, it helps with seasonal affective disorder. Who can't be a little depressed when you walk out day after day and it's cloudy and it's in the teens? That's depressing. Let's be honest.
No question. And I want to impress upon you, the listeners, that Dr. John Wyckoff is one of the folks that makes this program possible every day. He's been a great partner for a very long time. I appreciate his support, and he does a great job for me, and I appreciate that you're a supporter and a partner of the program. Tell the folks where your website is, because I know you have a sale that's continuing into 2017 here where they can get discounts no matter where they live in the state. Real quick, doctor.
We're at wyckoffwellness.com. You're right. Our January promotion, we've extended it through this Friday, February 3rd, 20% all of our quality supplements, both online at wyckoffwellness.com or in-store, 20% or more off all of our services. So contact our office, and you'll save some money, get looking better, feel great this year.
Wyckoffwellness.com. And, doctor, I thank your partnership. I truly do. I appreciate it for making it all possible.
Have a great day, Steve. Thank you.
There you have it, Dr. John Wyckoff, everybody. And listen, it's people like Dr. John Wyckoff that make this program possible, so I ask you to support them, wyckoffwellness.com, and support all of the advertisers that you hear on this program, whether they're statewide, national, or in your local community. Support the folks that support this program and make it possible, because that makes it possible for you and I to have a discussion. The hotline number is 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Love to get you on the line here today. We're going to leave the phone lines open. What do you think about Lansing, Michigan becoming a sanctuary city? What do you think about President Donald Trump firing the acting Attorney General Sally Yates because she said, I'm not going to enforce your immigration measures? What do you think about Barack Obama breaking with tradition and breaking protocol and openly criticizing Donald Trump just 10 days after Barack Obama left the White House? And who do you think is going to be the new Supreme Court justice coming in? All of these questions on the table for you today. Drive carefully out there. There's a lot of snow going on. But all of these questions are on the table for you today. The one getting the most comments is Lansing, Michigan, and Mayor Virgil Bonero moving forward with a plan to turn Lansing, Michigan into a sanctuary city. Are we not a nation of laws? I ask you, are we not a nation of laws? I believe that we are. I believe that we're supposed to be. And I wonder what's going on. We are a nation of immigrants, but also a nation of laws, and it's wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to allow the kind of immigration abuse we've seen in recent years, and we must not allow it to continue. So said Bill Clinton in January of 1995. He was right about that. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show. All right, 55 after on a Tuesday. We got some calls here. We're going to try to get through as many as we can. We're going to start with Sam checking in from Grand Rapids, WJRW there. Sam, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning. I was going to comment on the shooting in the mosque in Canada. It's kind of funny that they immediately called it a terrorist attack when generally if it is an attack aimed at a Christian or a Jewish entity, they don't initially call it a terrorist attack, and I notice they haven't released the names of the individuals, even though they've been arrested. I imagine they're probably dark, swarthy fellows who, when you pronounce their name, it sounds like you're coughing up a hairball.
All right, Sam, thank you for checking in. Greatly appreciate it. 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. We'll keep an eye on what happened in Canada, Quebec City, I guess it was. John checking in Lansing. John, what's on your mind?
Yeah, real quick, I was frustrated about this press release by the mayor. Last time I looked, President Trump won Michigan, so I don't see how he can come out so strongly saying that the citizens are for this kind of thing. And the whole thing about legal immigration is about the safety of Muslims, Jews, Christians, non-religious people altogether. It's not about just prohibiting Muslims from coming in. Muslims against Muslims are a lot of times the types of attacks that are going on. So this is to protect all of our citizenry, and I'm really disappointed in the mayor saying that.
Thank you, John. Thank you for checking in. It's not a ban on any religion. It's unless Syria, and being Syrian is a religion, it's not, and neither is being Somalian. Chris and Lansing, we can get you in time. Chris, what's on your mind?
Hello, Steve. I like your show a lot. I just want to say that I already think Lansing is pretty much a sanctuary city by proxy. I've lived here for a long time, seen a lot of things with my own eyes, but, I don't even think the Republican Party runs for mayor or anything in the city of Lansing. I think that's a big problem, but I'm going to do everything to stop it. They've already had one meeting on it, and they don't give us any notice, but I would suggest that anybody who wants to show up at the next meeting be there, and that's the only way you're going to stop it.
Chris, I appreciate it. You do it through showing up and participating in the process. You're right, it was a surprise attack by the mayor of Lansing and the city council. No notice. I got notice at 5 minutes to 5 for a 5:30 meeting. Can you imagine? It's the Steve Gruber Show, back with more of your calls and comments after this.